Baillie & Harding Ultra Sound System is proudly sponsored by Innovate, UK's number one trail running company. And this month, they've given me a bag, a beautiful bag, a handbag, no less. They haven't really given me a handbag. They've given me a Race Pack 20, which is otherwise known as the Jack Pack. It's the pack that he wore when he won the Spine back in January. You know, remember that? When he really beat Damien by like, I don't know, like 4 days or something. Anyway, the Race Pack 20 is a running hydration vest, multi-day runs and races over long distances, holding up to 20 litres of fluid, kit and nutrition. Zero bounce, suitable for everything, waterproof, compatible with the 2 to 3 litre reservoir, holds 2 500ml soft flasks, it's got pole attachment options and multiple stash pockets. It's brilliant. I wore it when I did the Spine Challenger South recently, and it says it's 20 litres, I reckon it's more. If you want to be in with a chance of winning said bag, please enter on our Instagram page. The link is in the link tree. And we'll be announcing the winner at the end of the month. On with the pod. Welcome to the Baillie and Alban. Alban. Is it right?
Yeah.
Welcome to the Baillie and Alban podcast. It's episode 65, and Paul Alban is in a porter cabin in what used to be the back garden of his house, aren't you?
Not porter cabin. This is a very nice purpose-built wooden shoffice, which is the new word. That's what everyone else seems to be calling it on the pod, wasn't it?
Absolutely, definitely a porter cabin that you're in.
No. This is nice. It's just got tongue and groove. That's it. And the bikes. Notice that they didn't come with us when we moved out.
This
they've stayed there.
Sounds a bit like the way a estate agent would describe an outhouse that's a porter cabin.
Well, actually, we did used to, we move a lot. And in,
why is that?
In a previous house, we're not going to go into that. But we did move a lot. In a previous house, we had an office with a toilet in it as well. So it meant that when Sophie was working, she could just stay down there for 6 weeks at a time. And it was brilliant, kitchen, toilet. But this time we've gone a bit more standard with just a normal little office.
Look at my little face. I just don't understand what's going on. Like, so hang on a minute. Like, are you living in it?
No. Oh, no. So currently we don't actually live at home. We live in we're renting a house while our house is being knocked down effectively.
You're living in a safe house. You're living in a halfway house?
Well, it's about as good a condition as a lot of halfway houses. I think it's an awful place to rent, but it's close to the school, so we're fine, and we don't have to live on a building site. So, being as we're recording this before my kids go to school, I thought rather than have the backdrop of loads of children, two children, shouting and screaming, I'd come and sit in the office for some tranquility. But it means I'm doing this. We have no power or anything, so hopefully my battery lasts long enough. I'm sure it'll be fine.
What, your body battery? Or the battery of your laptop?
No, the battery of my laptop and my phone, But
well,
we should be fine.
You had the dreamiest sound of all, and now you sound like you're in a porter cabin, which you are, even though you keep calling it tongue and groove shoffice.
It's a bit echoey. I don't really have anything to... I can't really null the sound down or the vibrations.
The vibration?
Sound vibrations.
Anyway, let's not worry too much about that.
Anyway,
let's worry about the content of the podcast. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. This is a running podcast, and Paul is a running man. He's an event director, and he is the race director for Big Bear Events, which is a running company based in the Northamptonshire area. What have you been up to the last month since I've seen you?
Well, actually, I think when we last spoke was the week before my Trail Fest Cannock Chase Forest, which was very successful overall. Lovely sunny day, which it isn't at the moment. It's raining and about 5 degrees. We're both in hoodies. But that day was very nice. I had about 350 people doing laps of Cannock Chase.
Nice.
No major dramas that we'll discuss, but nothing too bad happened.
That's a bit of a disappointment, isn't it? I do like a drama.
Well, we don't need to publicly dramatise things, but it went pretty well. The only thing that's frustrating with that event is that I thought, so it's essentially the third year of doing that event. So the event is well, this year it's been a 50 mile, 50K marathon, half marathon, and 10K. Previously, we've done 50 mile, 50K, and we did a 10 miler as well.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, the 50 mile is quite, it's pretty lumpy and bumpy and hilly and whatnot up there. Like, it's each 10 mile loop is about 2,000 feet of elevation, or just
that's
under.
That's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah,
That's Wendover.
Not far off. Yeah. So there's parts of that route that are as difficult as Wendover, but then there's also like a nice, beautiful 3% downhill for a mile. So bits that you don't really get at Wendover, you've got some beautiful downhill.
Don't you have that nice little narking about bit?
You know, no,
the bit that's like climbing up a tip, that bit.
Well, we've got the switchbacks. So the switchbacks are five. They call them switchbacks, but they're not. So if somebody told me there was a switchback, I'd be thinking of like Tour de France alpine passes.
Yeah.
Instead, it's like a roller coaster. So it's just straight up, straight down.
That's not a switchback. That shouldn't be ever referred to as one. It's a roller coaster. So refer to it as that.
That's what the locals call it. So we call it the switchbacks because we respect the local naming of things. Anyway, so they go up and down these switchbacks, and the gradient's got to be 15, 20% quite easily, but they're about 200 meters long on each of them, but they literally, you peak and then you come straight back down. So there's no sort of like running at the top, and it's just straight up, straight down, really gravelly underfoot, sort of gravel, sand, not really muddy at all at any time of year. And yeah, that's tough. So then on the 50 miler, you do that five times. And there's some other sort of, it's really very nice event. But the 50 miler, I think in the first year, I had maybe like 25, 30 people enter it. And half of them didn't finish. And then in the second year, I had about 15 people enter and half of them didn't finish. And then in the third year, I think I had 9 finishers. So it's like, it's not really going the right way. I thought that people found out about it, it would grow.
No, mate. You're marketing it wrong. You need to call it the brutal or like the terror or like, I don't know, fucking Britain's most baddest. That's a good one. Britain's most baddest. You could use that.
So yeah,
you need to, because this is going to get people like water cooler guys coming to test their metal.
Well, this is, and the bit that's frustrating is that on all of my events, I tell people what the numbers are, I tell people what they are, I do pictures, videos, photos, you know, everything to be factual about what it is. So on none of my stuff is it sort of like the world's toughest, this, that, the other, because it's not the world's toughest anything. It is blooming hard. But the amount of people that turn up, like, oh, I didn't know it was going to be this hard. Like,
well that's because
that's
because you're marketing it wrong. I think really, you should, instead of Trail Fest, you should call it Terror Fest 3000 Total Wipeout Fest or like Toxic Fest. That'd be good. You get some really great men coming to Toxic Fest.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Yeah.
I'd enjoy that.
You could call it Tape Fest and get Andrew Tate to come and be the guest RD.
That would be a dream.
I'm just going to put that in my bucket of race ideas for later. Good idea.
Excellent. It wouldn't quite fit in with like the ethos. And it's a really nice day because there's people there that have like never done an event of any sort of doing the 10K. And it's a hard 10K to do as like a first event. And there were loads of people there who had never done events or had never gone as far as they'd gone or had only ever done park run. They hadn't done trail, all these sorts of things. And so I'd rather get those people in than the people that are looking for the world's most brutalness. They're not really my crowd. Those
not your crowd.
Brutal hunters, no.
Brutal hunters. I love that. That's the name of the pod. Okay, then. But it went all right and nobody hurt themselves badly and there was no complaints. Have you had any complaints? Any refunds?
No, not massively. So I don't really want to, we'll discuss it briefly, but I don't really want to talk about it because it's very much my cock up. So,
oh, I love cock up.
I don't, because it's for me. So the way that I do my timing is effectively manually time it on a computer. So it's just as, so this is a whole side point about the accuracy of timing. But anyway, I need to be able to see people's numbers as they come through the finish line. And I just tap into the computer, bosh, done. It can be as easily as accurate as any other sort of timing system within about half a second, if that. And when you're racing over trail like that, half a second is nothing. Anyway,
you fucking tell that to Killian.
Well, yeah, but again, he didn't. It's ultra running. I tell people we measure it.
Killian's not done any of your races then?
No, not yet. No, I'm not sure if he's aware. If you can have a word, you'll chat to each other, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we do. We've all got a WhatsApp group.
Yeah. And anyway, so manually timed people, never an issue. Done 100 plus events, not been an issue. However, this is the biggest event that I've done. And I had a finish line where people were going both ways across the finish line, which when you hear that and you say it out loud, yeah, it sounds really stupid.
Like crossing streams.
A little bit, yeah.
Mm.
Which I'd worked out beforehand could be an issue and was. So what ended up happening is we missed the person that won the marathon, who is a listener, and I've not got her name. Oh, her name. Because I noticed that she entered with the discount code that we gave out on the podcast.
Did you I've miss her because she was a woman?
Well, no, because I was looking, Ali, for the
you were looking
woman
at
that
women
was winning the marathon.
You were looking at women.
Yes. Doing marathons, yeah.
Right.
But it was, so we didn't spot that she'd won it, and my volunteers gave her the medal and off she went, but I wasn't there at that. I was there like a minute later, because it's my video, the finish line, but I was there a minute later, and then I turn up, and then the woman that we think wins comes through, brilliant, well done, here's that really nice wooden block that we made.
Shit.
Right.
Oh,
and
no.
Also, yeah, this isn't funny, is it? This is awful. No.
Yeah.
No, because the woman that we gave the first place out to comes to my events all the time, is the loveliest person ever. And obviously I've really upset her, which I don't want to do. This, but also my results have to be, you know, you've got to correct your mistakes. So like on the Sunday morning, there were lots of like heavily sorried emails that went out saying, I'm really sorry, I've made a massive mistake here. But yeah, I feel really bad about it, mainly because, for two reasons. Because I'm making a cock up here by not remembering the woman's name that won. But that was her first ever marathon that she'd ever done.
God.
I think she'd done ultras, but it was her first ever marathon, so she wasn't expecting to win because maybe she thought she had to finish in like 3 hours, not realizing that no one finishes stuff like that early. So she wasn't expecting to win, and she just sort of came across the line really, you know. Quite subdued, really. Like, not, you know, she wasn't celebrating. And then
She wasn't celebrating because nobody had noticed that she'd won. She's probably devastated. She's probably never going to race again.
So she said that she really enjoyed the day. Don't worry about it, it's all fine.
Did she?
Well, yeah, she enjoyed the day, but she'd have enjoyed it more if I'd have got that bit right. But it's not as, it sounds really bad when you say it like that, but obviously we had
it does, doesn't it? I think what we need to do here is we need to take this, give it to me, give it to Bailey and Reed to investigate thoroughly. A thorough investigation needs to take place.
And then I had another one. So it's a multi, yeah, I know. So I had a great Sunday. So I was really busy on the Saturday, sort of, you know, doing the actual event. And then the Sunday was spent mainly looking at videos, and it was a nightmare.
Of women.
So I had another guy. No, this was in the male marathon, actually, in the men. And we had one guy do the marathon on that course in 3 hours and 15 minutes, which is insanely quick.
Oh, get in the bin, brutal hunter.
He's like a 2.5 hour marathon runner. Some young lad in his 20s who's incredibly quick.
Yeah, this isn't
anyway,
for you,
really
young man.
No, it's brilliant to watch. Like, very good. And then the guy that came second, I said, you know, you make a bit of a judgment. You're like, blimey, someone's only 10 minutes behind him.
What?
And he looked at me like, I can't believe you. Are you sure you've done all of it? He's like, yeah, definitely, definitely. And then the lads that then finish in what I thought were third and fourth were like, oh, were we second? It's like, no, the guy finished about 20 minutes ago, actually. And I'm like, no, no one's been in front of his nose. Well, okay, well, these are the results I've got. I've got no reason to think they're wrong. Anyway, done. And then I go through all the results and then realise that the guy that came second clearly missed one of the laps. So it was 6 miles, then 10 miles, then 10 miles. And I'm pretty sure he missed the 6 mile lap. because his 2 10-mile laps were like the same time, and he'd have had to have run like a 15-minute 6 miles or something ridiculous. So it was never going to work. So then I had to deal with emails of, I'm really sorry, but you definitely didn't do this. Unless you can send me a Garmin to tell me that you did do it in some magical time, then that's fine. But I've got a photographer out there that didn't get you in any of the pictures. I've got the camera that did, so I've got essentially all this evidence that I've had to sort of go to him with, because you can't say to somebody, oh no, you were second on the day, and then turn around and say, oh, I don't think you were
Did you
actually,
give him the
without
wooden block? Did you give him the second block?
yeah. So
Fuck. So has he
again,
got to give
I've
it
had to
back?
make more of these. Well, I mean, no, I'm not that sort of precious about sort of getting it back. But I need to send out the new ones to the other guys that should have been second and third. So the day went fine, apart from those two minor.
Huge
We're not focused on
errors.
those. We're not. No. We're not focused on
Right.
those. We're focusing on the joy
Of
of the 347 other
the two
people.
glaring Billy Basic mistakes that you made, you mean?
Yeah, thanks. Well,
Right.
no. The first one, the getting the wrong female finisher. Yeah, that's very much my error. But somebody telling me they've completed the course when they haven't on the day,
How
I
did
can't necessarily
I'm
get that one.
interested to know how the man who says he's completed the course when he didn't reply to that email.
He wasn't very happy.
What do you mean? You've caught him cheating.
No, and to the guys that came second and third, I officially, I've told them I don't see it as cheating so much as I see it as a genuine error.
Why are you on your knees? Paul's just got off his chair and onto his knees like he's begging for forgiveness.
I mean, because can you not hear the creaking of my chair?
No, I can't hear the creaking of your
Oh,
chair.
okay,
You can
excellent. I'll
sit
sit
back
on
on
my
your
chair
fucking
then.
chair.
Because different. I don't normally, I'm not set up for
He's
recording, you
really
see.
you're really uncomfortable with this, aren't you? You're so uncomfortable. I want to know what I'd really interested in what this guy that didn't come second is saying. Like, has he acknowledged that he didn't do the lap?
Well, like I said, he essentially thinks that he did, but then can't show me how
He
he did.
doesn't think that he did. He knows he didn't.
I've again, absolutely no reason to not believe the guy. This is trail running.
Except
We work on every step.
he didn't. This fucks
No, he
me
definitely didn't
off.
do the running. No, he didn't do the running. That's I'm 100% sure on that part. But when it's a, you could potentially have got yourself mixed up and thought you did something,
No,
which
absolutely
is a
not. You look
genuine
at your
error.
watch and you go, oh, I've done 20 miles, not 26.
Didn't have his watch on.
He didn't have his watch on.
Well, he did have a watch, but said it ran out of battery.
Right, did
But you
he?
have to
Okay.
believe people.
No, you don't have to believe people. Not when you're me. Not when you are me. I'm like, you fucking liar. I would have been. Next time you have a problem like that, send me over. I'll sort it out. That's like
But
the
that's not
what? No, this is like.
how you resolve things.
People have, I don't want to resolve it. I want to never race at my event again. I fucking
Yeah.
hate liars. I hate them.
But I genuinely, I don't think he's like trying to cheat, because I don't know why he would.
He wants a block of wood that says second on it so he can take it to work and everybody tells him he's brilliant. That's why. I hope he's listening. Are you
But
listening?
I don't think he's a listener. Nobody knew that those blocks were necessarily going to be there. I don't think that was the case. I'm 9 times
Paul,
from
you
sure.
are too nice.
No, it's not that. It's I know sort of like what guilty people look like. Having worked in a bank, no, as in like their facial expressions. Having worked in a bank, when people come in trying to get blooming refunds and everything and telling you that, they didn't do this and they didn't do that, you sort of quickly work out the little tells of people. And he just seemed like he made a genuine mistake. I think he thought he'd done it. I think he knew roughly what his times would be on a normal marathon, and for some reason didn't quite factor in the fact it's incredibly blooming hilly. So I don't think it's
We'll
somebody
have to
trying to
agree to
cheat.
disagree. We'll have to agree to disagree. It's too big a number. 6 miles is too big a number. But what I will say to you is, what I will ask you is the reason you have to keep moving house because of disgruntled people that you've taken blocks away from and said that actually you're not
No,
cheating?
it's not.
Are you
No.
running scared from running?
I try to never give out my address so that they can never find me.
Perfect. Well, that was fun, wasn't it, everybody?
There we go.
Listener, what do you
But it
think
went
about
really
this?
well. It went really well.
Would you
Let's
like
just
to sign
remember
up
that
for a Big
part.
Bear event? Would you like to accidentally be given a trophy that's not yours? Well, www.bigbearevents.org or something, .co.uk, .com.net. There you go.
However, let's just don't end it there. I've fixed the problem for next time because I've got a timing company to come in and they're going to time it, trip timing, like you'd get at any normal event. So then I
Finally.
can just do things. Yeah, but my
Finally.
time system works really well for all the other events that I do. And I've not had an issue like this at any other event at any other time before. And I'm 100 plus events in. So, you know, I've got a 99% success rate. And even at that event, I got all the other ones.
You sound like my dog. You sound like my dog. I'm well behaved, night off the lead, 90% of the time, like 10% of that time for 90% of the time, 100% of the time I'm a good girl, but only 90% of that time am I good. Thanks, Pickle. Right, let's talk about something else. I went to Love Trails Festival at the weekend.
Yes, how was that?
Horrendous. Yeah, I'm sure that lots of people do like Love Trails, but I'm old. I'm 42, 43. I'm a recovering alcoholic and I like quiet times. Be quiet now. It's not quiet. It's very loud. And there was lots of loudness. And there were bits of it I loved. It was, I like the community outside of it. There are lots of running. So there's running, lots of running, loads of running. Guided runs.
Like races or just
races,
guided runs.
But not really races. Like no one gets a trophy. So you'd be okay. Nobody gets a trophy. There's no timing map, so you'd be okay. But like there's like 5Ks, 10Ks, guided runs. There's rave runs, run to the rave, run to Dave, run to the fucking hills, whatever it is. There's loads of like, I was about to say cliques. What I really meant was groups, you know, like midnight runners and midnight runners. And there's lots of, there was a ultra and there was a, everything in Ks. I'm like, why is everything in Ks? Ridiculous. There's a 52K, a 27K. Just fucking like, do it in miles. I didn't do any of the runs. There's a beer relay, a beer mile, which was just fucking annoying, got my tits, because it went on for like 7 years. There was just a lot of noise. So while there's people running around doing all their things, which is great because we all love running, right? There's also workshops and talks, and I was doing the workshops and talks side of things, which was good, nice, and panels and things. But it was just too much for me. I just couldn't bear the noise. I know I sound like an old bastard, but I couldn't bear it. It was just, why does it? Do the speakers have to be so loud?
What is in like the music noise,
yeah,
or just
the
people
music,
being
the music
loud?
Noise, the music noise.
Right. Okay.
There was lots of people in Salomon because it was sponsored by Salomon, and I wasn't a fan of that. And basically, it was just like being a miserable old bastard in a crowd full of young, good-looking people. That's what I did all weekend.
So did they all enjoy it, but you didn't?
Yes, they did.
Right. Okay.
The other people were shouting and screaming enjoyed it, but I didn't enjoy it. And I was on site for the minimal amount of time I could be. Will I go back? Yes. But I would definitely spend less time on site because I just didn't like it. There were bits you could go to that were quiet, but people keep saying to me, oh, was it good? And I'm like, it was good if you're up for that like full-on festival vibe. Because I just got too tired and I had to go. I was in bed by like 9 o'clock every night. I was in an Airbnb down the road. So I was being like a good girl, but also I feel like my battery for that sort of thing is now emptied because of all the music industry stuff. It's emptied. I've just had enough. Like I don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah, because it sort of sounds like it would be right up your street, really. Music and running, and
it's not music though. It's dancey music. It's ravey music. It's not like the National or like Misery music. It's not like Leonard Cohen's going to pop up and start singing. It's like dancey, bouncy, up and downy music.
Right. Okay.
I don't think you'd like it, Paul.
Yeah.
I know you were thinking of going, but I don't think you'd like it.
Yeah.
I think you'd get there, buy a bucket hat, try and get into it, and then be like, I don't like this, and go home.
I've got a bucket hat with Gran Canaria written on it that I had to buy when I was on holiday.
That would be perfect.
Is that sort of bucket hat? Or does it need to be like a £700 Varga or something?
No,
one
no.
Or something?
There was no Varga or Vaga.
Oh, hey, really?
There was no Vaga there. No, because it's fucking not, it's not ultra, is it? It's like, hey, like 5K, 10K, let's run around the Gower Peninsula. It was that.
Right, okay.
The Gower was lovely though, and I loved it, and it was beautiful weather. So, you know, and it was very well organized and it was nice, but it was just noisy. And I just think that I've done my time at festivals. I think it's 20 years of festivaling we're done here now. So, yeah. I'm not slagging off trails off. I'm just telling it's not for me.
Yeah, well, different things for different people and all that.
Different
I've never
for
done festivals,
folks.
You see. Yeah, I was trying to think as to what the friends were.
Well, the thing is with Love Trials, you couldn't take your kids. No way. There's nowhere to put them. There's nothing to do with them. So there's no way you could do that. So you'd have to go on your own. And so maybe you could go with like a bunch of like...
You mean like a pen?
Yeah, or like a
Sorry,
car. You could, no, you could put like you could put them in the car, but you'd have to crack the
you
window.
You tie them up somewhere? You tie them up somewhere where you go?
You know what? There's a couple of bits down the Gower. There's a couple of bits down the Gower you could probably leave them and nobody would find them.
No. No, on the cliff edges, right? A
No,
sort of
there's like
cliff
a
ground,
couple
isn't
of
it?
like derelict houses and stuff you can like tether them to, probably.
Excellent.
Yeah.
They'll enjoy themselves.
Like I say, leave them in the car, but crack the window because we did leave a bit of a bar of Biscoff chocolate in the car and it melted. So it would be quite hot in the car. But that's what you do with kids, right? That's what my parents used to do with us. They used to leave us in the pub car park, all three of us locked in a car with one Panda Pop and a bag of crisps between us.
Nice. Yeah, it's still the same. But I so I thought it was like a family. It's not a family festival type vibe. Right, okay.
No, it is not. You want to go to Latitude Festival. You'd love Latitude Festival. That's good. It's got like loads of family stuff to do. You can leave your kids in the kids area with the grown up people that will look after them. And then right behind the kids area, there's a champagne bar. You'd love it. It's
I
really
think I'd
middle
leave my kids
class.
anywhere at a festival.
You wouldn't.
Where's Latitude? Where's
It's, I think,
on Hawaii?
Latitude in Norfolk. Latitude's like the most middle class. We used to call it
Okay.
Latitude. Aren't we funny? Because it was so middle class. And it's got
Nice.
like Latitude Festival's fucking great. The kids area is massive. It's got kids, a family camping area, which I camped in once because I thought it'd be quiet. But there was this kid running around with a wooden sword singing the Star Wars theme tune at 5 o'clock every morning. And the theme tune would go on for an hour and a half. I nearly fucking murdered him.
Yeah, well,
Stuff at
this is a
Henham
thing some people
Park.
don't. Where?
Henham Park, Suffolk. It's this weekend. It's next weekend, 25th, 28th July.
No, I'll pop down.
Do it. Duran Duran, Kasabian, Keane, London Grammar, Future Islands, Orbital. See? Lovely.
I know some of those.
Durran Durran, don't you? The Durans.
Kane.
Kasabia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to work with Kasabia. That was interesting. Theatre, conversations, podcast, poetry. It looks great. Sponsored by Aperol Spritz. What could be nicer? It
That
is fun. It's
does sound
sponsored
quite
by
middle class.
Co-op, Bombay Sapphire, and Aperol Spritz.
I mean, that does sound, apart from co-op. I mean, you only need a co-op when you need a co-op, don't you? But Aperol Spritz and Bombay Sapphire, that's
And
good
Grey
sponsors.
Goose and Bacardi and Tia Maria Cold Brew and TK Maxx.
That's a curve. All right, TK Maxx.
Yeah. Do you want to know something about TK Maxx's that my sister told me the other day? She told me that TK Maxx's, most TK Maxx's have, well, there's a Facebook group called TK Maxx's with toilets in because women
Right.
especially get so excited about going to TK Maxx because of all the things they might find that when they get in there, they completely relax because of all the shiny, nice candles and things and they need a shit because they're so relaxed at TK Maxx. So this Facebook
That's a
group
bit
details
weird.
all the TK Maxxes that have got toilets in them. And I know exactly what they're talking about because I love a candle. And sometimes I'll go in TK Maxx so they have the candles that I like and I get very overexcited. And then I have to shit in a Sainsbury's carrier bag in the aisles of TK Maxx.
That's such a, I mean, I used to go to TMAX all the time when I was younger because you
Don't you
can
shit
buy things
yourself?
that you think that, no, I never found it that exciting. That's really weird. Is that true?
Yeah, it's
Someone's
true.
two plus two equals five, right?
It's
No.
true. It's true. It's true. Go on Facebook. Go on
I don't want
Facebook.
to. That's, I mean,
Same thing happens in B&M.
oh no, I hate B&M.
How
You
can you
can't get
hate B&M?
excited
You're
in
a race
B&M.
director. B&M, you can buy all of your food, your aid stations for £1. It's better than cash and carry.
Well, I just go to Aldi. Yeah, the cash and carry isn't actually cheap. I just go to Aldi and Lidl and just go and get my food from there.
Brilliant.
Just as
So
cheap as
there you
anywhere
go,
else.
everybody. Really is selling that race for you, isn't he? He's really selling that race for you there. I
Yeah,
think.
but who needs, this is what, when I've had people buy stuff for aid stations before, no one's getting to the aid station thinking, I'll only have Taste the Difference sausage roll or whatever. You just want sausage roll. Although I don't do sausage rolls at my events anymore because it was pointed out that the meat quality and everything is so piss poor that my aid stations are, I don't know, I'd call them like semi-vegetarian. So I don't have anything out that's
How
got specific meat
vegan are
quality.
they? How vegan are they?
Pretty big. I mean, a lot of the sweet, the majority of like the sour sweet type things, they're vegan mostly, or vegetarian. I mean, we get the vegan spread for the bread,
Yeah,
things
but
like
it's not
that, because that's
Biscoff, is
quite
it?
meaty.
You don't use Biscoff.
But
You use
Biscoff,
you. No, you
yeah.
don't. You use that
Well,
fucking
right.
knockoff Biscoff, Riscoff, or
Yeah.
Fiscoff, or Biscotti, whatever it's called.
Caramelized biscuit spread.
Caramelized biscuit spread. There you go.
Well, you know, just telling you more accurately what it is. Yeah, but that's because if you go and buy branded stuff, like again, no one can tell the difference between
Coca-Cola.
Yes, that's the difference. That's the exception.
Right.
But that's because it is fundamentally different. So it used to be, I think they changed. So since the sugar tax came in, it used to be that every 100 mil of Coke had something like 34 grams of sugar in it.
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Exactly. It's all the good stuff. Whereas when you buy like cola, it's got, I don't know, 1 gram of sugar in it. It's full of sweeteners because then you pay less on the sugar tax. So when you go to a race and they've got cola, or even worse, Diet Coke or something like that, which is just ridiculous.
That shit. What are you doing? Yeah. Just give us water.
I've seen it. Yeah. Well, this
I've
is
seen it,
it
too.
I didn't. So on my first ever event I did, I bought cola because why would I spend loads more? Because I didn't realize, because I don't go around looking at labels on Coca-Cola. And then somebody said to me, oh, you bought Diet Coke. I thought, no, I didn't. I'm not that stupid. But then I looked at the labels and realized that there's something like 3 or 4 times more sugar in Coca-Cola than in like your home brand cola stuff.
Roller
and
cola.
So yeah, but the difference in cost is about 6 times the difference. So Coca-Cola costs me 13.9p per 100 mil, roughly, and the cola is like 2.6p per 100 mil. So I'd look to compare it on the labels. I'm not sitting there with a calculator working out.
Okay, then.
That's the difference. So it's like 5 or 6 times the difference in cost. So that's why people get cola rather than Coca-Cola. But if your race director really wants to look after you, then they'll get you Coca-Cola. Or Pepsi,
we have this on the fucking podcast all the time. Is it a Coca-Cola company or a roller cola company? If it's roller cola, get the bin. We're not interested in roller cola. You're paying enough fucking money to get your Coca-Cola. Someone once told me, you know, at MDS, on one of the days at MDS, they bring in a can of Coke for everybody. Like it's like day 4 or 5 or something. And everyone's looking forward to this fucking day where the Coca-Cola arrives and like everyone's dying. And I think it was Pete Reese told me that, or maybe it was Lee Stuart Evans, that the Coke vehicle came into camp and everybody's salivating. And when they opened the back door, it's just Diet Coke and everybody went berserk. There was like a fucking riot in the middle of the desert. They shot 3 or 4 of the people. They didn't shoot anyone. That's not true. We've got an amazing new feature that a listener suggested. It is called Bear With Me. Right? Big Bear With Me. Where Ali, spelt wrong, and Paul discuss some far-fetched ideas for race formats, locations, etc. Now, I have long been a person who comes up with ideas. I'm a creative genius. Everybody knows this, right? And I've got some fucking banging ideas for races. So I'm going to run a couple of these past you, and I want you to tell me why you think they're not going to work.
Well, they might work. Or somebody might be doing it.
Exactly. Now, if they are going to work, you can have the first refusal before I present them to either James Elson or Lazarus Lake. One of those two people, I'm sure, will take them. Probably not James. James is quite risk averse. Number one, the single backyard ultra. Right.
Okay.
So, are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Well, how about you look for it in the right place, the single backyard ultra? So, the way the single backyard ultra works is we get people to come to the backyard ultra who are single and looking for love. And you come to registration and first you have to do is prove that you're single. So if you're of a certain age, I want to see a divorce certificate. I want to see your hands, no wedding rings. And I will also check for suntan lines on the wedding ring hands. And you have to sign an affidavit thing saying, I am single, completely single, right? Your face, we're going to take a photo of you and put you on our Facebook page and on our Instagram and tag you. So if you're not single, your fucking missus / husband will see you, right? Then we give you a buff. And the buff denominates whether you are a gay man, a straight man, a not bothered man, a woman, and whatever you are, you'll have a buff, a coloured buff, right? So we don't get confused because I've got a horrible habit of falling in love with gay people. The hashtag Dean Cox. So you're all milling around at the start and then you start the single, I've got to think of a better name for it, and it'll probably pop up into my brain halfway through this. So every lap, you run around with someone that you fancy. You find someone you fancy, you say, would you like to do a lap with me? You do that lap with them. And then when you finish, you decide if you want to do another lap with them or if you want to go for a different person the next lap, right? And you keep doing this until you find the person that you're like, oh, I love this person and I want to go out on a proper date with them. And then the last lap of the day, so it will have to be like a 6 hour or 12 hour lap thing, because that'll be a last lap of the day, is 2 hours long. And we play romantic music through the woods and we put smoke and stuff in there and like give you a glass of bubbly or like non-alcoholic bubbly. And the winner is the couple that snog or agree to a second date. But I quite like it if they had a snog, a bit like homecoming king and queen at the end.
I'm not familiar with that program, but
what do you think about that idea?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I saw an article in like The Guardian saying how running clubs in London are like the new place to go dating for young people, apparently. That's where you go looking for love rather than the nightclub.
What article was this?
It wasn't long. It was maybe a few weeks ago. Maybe it was The Guardian or something. Like it was a proper, someone had written it properly. It wasn't just sort of some clickbaity thing.
Mm.
And they were saying that that's where people go trying to find like-minded singles in your area. No, it's said that that running clubs are sort of like the new social hangout, and that's where people are finding love and things.
So the I idea would of like doing that to within a know running... if any listeners have found love in the club. So you know that song, Love in the Club by Usher, which is absolutely disgusting because he's talking about having sex on sofas in clubs and on the floor, which you don't do. Have you found love in the club? In the running club, listener, please get in touch. Anyway, what do you think about my idea?
It would work for the first lap, and then let's say that it's like a, if it's 6 hours, let's say it's six laps worth of running around.
Yeah.
You're going to be left with just two either ugly or annoying people that are left at the end that have to meet up, right? Is that how it works?
No, because like...
So all the attractive people get off, like pair up at the beginning. And then you're just left with the bottom of the barrel or the end of the night at the nightclub.
Why are you doing this? Why are you assuming this? Like you go, because you do a lap with someone and then you're like, actually, I did a lap once at a backyard ultra with a bloke that I fancied. And then halfway around, he told me that he idolised David Goggins. And I was like, I don't think so, mate. Never spoke to him again. Right. And so like you might find out something about somebody halfway around, be like, I don't like you, and then you go for someone else. Or maybe you have to be forced into having five or six different dates with people. Like that's quite bad forcing people. Yeah, you have to have a different partner, or you have to choose a different. Yeah, speed. It's basically speed dating. Yeah. So we can. Yeah. Basically. So maybe you have to go out with someone different for five or six laps, and then the last lap you choose the person that you like the most. But what if somebody else found that person they like the most? That's where the speed comes into it, because you've got to get to the end quicker in order to ask them out.
Oh, that could be good. Yeah, like you have to. Someone, I've never done speed dating, but my understanding is you sort of like you tick to say if you like them or not, and then you swap all that at the end, right? That's how it works, I think.
No, so you I don't could know. Have I've it. Never done it either. No, I mean, I have done speed dating. I've done speed dating, but not officially. In nightclubs and stuff.
There we go. Without the pen and paper. But I think you have to tick to say that you like them and they tick you. So you could do it that you've got to try and then, like, only one person can tick or something, and the first person that gets back is the one that can do it. So
I think you're putting too much into this. I think you're putting too many, you're overcomplicating it like a man would, right?
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, but anyway, look, what do you think about Valentine's Day putting this race on?
Oh, well, I'm not doing it, but it does sound like something that you could do as a club. So, again,
no, you wouldn't do it as a club. No, because everybody in the club knows each other. You need to do it with strangers. Yeah, so you need to do it at a race. You'd have lots of different clubs coming.
Yeah. I mean, it's the sort of thing you could do, but I sort of think man nearly 40 invites single women out to woods doesn't ring as the best headline.
Neither does man nearly 40 ignores female race winner, Paul.
No, whoa, don't say that. I didn't ignore at all. I just missed.
Well, you're not inviting females out to the woods, are you? You're inviting females and men and gay people and people of non-binary descent and people who identify as whatever they want to the woods to meet the love of their life, potentially.
It's not as silly as an idea as you might think it is. It's the sort of thing, love trails next year.
Oh, God, no, because that would give love trails a whole new meaning.
They'll be listening to, well, you know, they'll be listening to this.
Actually, do you know what? Love trails might pick that up. That is, and I could be the compare.
it's not a stupid idea.
If it could be the compare. It'd be amazing. I could say things like, God, I wouldn't put you two together. Whew, you're punching. Things like that.
Oh, that the people would really enjoy that.
I know they would.
But I wouldn't do it for like, how long is the backyard? What, it's like four
backyard
point
ultra goes on
a,
the backyard ultra goes on until somebody wins.
No, I know. So you don't
want to
be
do
like
that.
Because
we don't want
hours.
To end up with people like shagging and stuff. We don't want that. We don't want to make it dirty.
No, but if you did it, you could do it over like a kilometer loop. So then it's actually, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, and then you can get through a lot of people. I'm telling you, that will be the highlight of Love Trails next year. Somebody will come along and they'll say, look, we're going to set this up. It sounds like that's the sort of thing you could do as part of something.
You could do it. But you could set it up, and that way you get to go to Love Trails for free. He's saying no. Why not?
Who are the people? Have you ever? I've never met anybody, but you might have done that. Like, would organise speed dating or that sort of thing. Like, have you ever met like matchmakers? Well,
Danny Bent is their MC, so he would be well into this. Hey, do you remember when we did it at the running show when we did blind date with the race directors?
Yeah, I couldn't do it, could I? Because you moved.
No, it was fucking brilliant. We did like. Marie Burton was the picker, and then we had 13 Valleys, James from Centurion. Who else did we have?
You have Rasselbach.
Oh yeah, and Eric from Rasselbach. And we did like a blind date thing. That was fucking cool. I might do that again next year, but I'm not going to be on the ultra stage next year. I've got some big, big running show news coming up in a couple of weeks. Right, idea number two. I've done this one before. The influencer backyard ultra.
Yeah.
Are you sick of influencers saying they're doing shit they're not doing and training for things they're not actually training for? Well, this sorts the men from the boys. So we get all the influencers. It's televised and it's streamed on every freaking platform. So it's streamed on Threads, on TikTok, on SmickSmock, on Insta Lives, on FaceTimes, all of them, and YouTubes and all of the major TV channels, all four of them, Sky Sports, everything. It's streamed. You, influencer, have to hand over your phone, and you're not going to get your phone back until you win the race. And if you don't win the race, the backyard, so if you are not the last person, which 99.9% of you won't be, we're going to smash up your phone and destroy your social media.
Sounds good.
It does, doesn't it? Will you organise that for me?
Sounds good. I don't really know, apart from yourself, obviously, as a
I'm not doing it.
Running influencer.
I don't want to do it because I know that I can't win. These are the people that say that they can win. These are the people that, like, I'm going to train for this, or like, I'm going to do this, or I'm taking on the biggest challenge of my life, or I'm so proud of myself, or I'm fucking a prick, whatever they are. And they think that they can win just by thinking they can win, but actually they're not going to do any work. And what I'll do is I'll get somebody that I know can win, Sarah Perry, and I'll place her at the front. And it's just a way of getting rid of all the influencers who keep saying that they're doing things they're not doing.
I'm interested to listen to these stories of people saying they're doing things they're not doing. Because I don't know if I, maybe I just have a different social media diet, but I don't know if I see that many people like that.
How often do you go on Instagram, look at what people say they're doing, then go on their Strava and cross-check?
Never.
Yeah, I do that quite a lot. Like, I spend quite a lot of time doing that. And the reason I spend quite a lot of time doing that is because I'm all about integrity and honesty and telling people it like it is and not coating it with sugar and being like, oh yeah, you know, anyone can do this. Anyone can do it as long as you do the fucking work. But a lot of people won't do the work, but say that they are doing the work. And that fucks me off.
It'll be like a video of them out running saying they've just gone and done 50 miles in 10 minutes or whatever. But really, they've gone and done a park run in 45 minutes.
Or they've run to the shop to get a cornetto and done a video of it.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I follow these people. There are lots of people like that with big following.
Yes. Like hundreds of thousands of people following them, sucking up everything that they're saying as if it's actual fact, when actually it's absolute bullshit. And one of the questions I ask is, would you be doing this, influencer, if nobody was watching? Would you be doing this running stuff if nobody was watching you? And most of the time, the answer is no. They're basically monetizing a sport that I love, that I put a lot of work and effort into, and that I coach people into the realities of like how hard it is. Because I'm sorry, but it is hard, right? Training for ultras is hard. You have to give up a lot. You have to really like put your heart and soul into it, things go wrong. It's such an amazing experience. It's such a like life-defining experience, training for an ultra. It changes you in such great ways, but it's a process, a really long process of learning, failing, getting back up again. It is not hackable. It is not shiny. It is not easy. And one of the things that annoys me the most is when these people do their race, their goal race, like, and all they concentrate on is the outcome, finish it or don't finish it, and then give it the big fucking dramas about how hard it was, which just puts other people off taking part. And the reason they found it hard is because they didn't fucking train for it. Those are the people I want in this binfluencer backyard.
Yeah, it's people do think it's easy because they see somebody do it and they hear the one story of the bloke that just decided to run and could magically do it. And it's not easy. It's a lot of
hard
work.
Do you know what's funny, right? How we celebrate these people that don't train for a marathon and finish a marathon in 4 hours. But if you had a brain surgeon going, I just went and did brain surgery on somebody and I haven't trained to do the brain surgery, but I got away with it. You'd be like, fucking hell, that's awful. Why is it okay in sport for people to not do the work and then get a good result, in inverted commas? It's just fucking bullshit and it pisses me off and it takes away the work that all my athletes, my coached athletes do, winds me up. It's not the first time I've had this rant and it won't be the last.
No, I know. That's why I wondered who you'd seen that done it. I mean,
I can name people, but do you know what? If I name people, I'm accused of bullying or trolling. When actually I'm just pointing out a fact. But if I name people, I am accused of fucking bullying them or trolling them. I'm not bullying or trolling. I'm pointing out people that are lying to their audience, to people that trust them.
But then it makes you feel as somebody that's then trying to do it, when you then try and copy what they do and you can't because it doesn't really exist, it makes you feel worse as well. Because
makes you feel like shit because you're like, why can't I do this? When so-and-so can do it, why can't I do it? It's absolutely bullshit. And having been a coach and trained people from scratch to do these things, I know how much time and effort it takes. It really takes a lot and it's so worthwhile doing. And the growth is within that process. That's where it all happens. And it's really interesting because the people that do really work hard and do really like get the results that they want or get the results that, or maybe don't get the result they want first time, but keep going to get the result they want in the end. Those are the quiet ones. They don't say things on social media. They're not shouting about it because they genuinely want to do it. Whereas the question that all of you listeners should be asking is, would this person that I love on social media be doing this if nobody was fucking watching them?
No, and most of them wouldn't because they wouldn't get sent their free protein powder and whatever clothing thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Next, I'm going to come up with some more good ideas. But do you know what I want you to do for next time? Come up with some ideas of your own that we can action.
Me?
Yep.
Right. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking to the listener.
No, you. Listener, if you want to send in your ideas for races, please do, because Paul will either bin them, he's binned both of mine, or win them and copy them and then make money out of them.
I didn't bin the first one. I just said it's not really my vibe. I can see it being something that, you know, a running type festival or that sort of thing would definitely do, though.
I just don't think you want to fill in the health and safety risk assessment forms.
Yeah, that could be odd as well.
There you go. Right, so how's your running going? Because didn't you need some motivation? I think we should sign you up for a race.
Yeah.
Have you started running properly yet?
No. So I went on a little run with Sophie, who was off yesterday. So we went for a little run around the fields for like 4 miles. And then I've done very little last week.
But you asked the listeners. You asked the listeners if they could suggest a race. So what have they come up with?
Oh, what did they come up with? Oh dear. Some locally, but nothing that's really grabbed me. I think I'm going to do a 10K in a little local village called Napton in September, which I appreciate is the ultra running podcast. But at the moment, I feel like actually doing a decent 10K of any sort would actually be quite a step for me, which is
how
bad my run is going.
Why don't we sign you up for something in like April next year and then like something big, like a 50K or like a 50 miler, and then you have to train for it?
Well, there is that. I do quite fancy doing so. 50K would be perfect distance. It's difficult. I know I already predict what you're going to say afterwards, but it's difficult to find time to do training that is like going out for a few hours. I have a different sort of work-life balance, got the kids, got everything else. So it's difficult to find sort of like weekly time to go and do like a 2 or 3 hour run.
You don't need to.
Whereas,
You don't need to. You don't fucking need to. 1 hour, 4 times a week in the week. 1 hour. 1 fucking hour. 1 hour.
to train for 50K.
Yeah. And then at the weekend, a 2 hour run, which I'm sure that you can do. Strength and conditioning
This
during the
is the thing.
week, you'll be fine.
Yeah. See, that's time-wise, it's tricky. And yes, I could do things and I could not do things. I can make it work, but I'm choosing not to. So whereas if I do shorter stuff, I can go and do like an hour 3 times a week and I'll be fine. Because I'm doing quite a lot, I think I said before, I'm doing quite a lot of gym stuff at the moment and quite enjoying it. So I'm trying to maintain that while doing a bit of running around the sides. But just my running fitness has just completely died away. I went and marking the course for that trail fest at Cannock Chase, ended up doing sort of 17 miles on the day. I was knackered. I was going so slowly. Obviously, you're marking the course. So you do go slowly, but that was like the longest time and the longest distance, probably for a year. I don't know, maybe
Right.
something like
Well, when you decide to fucking put your big girl pants on,
that.
I will coach you for free. Me.
Okay.
Look at that. What does that say? It says 2024 National Running Show Coach of the Year, doesn't it?
So I need to do it before the end of the year then.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
That's
come
more a
2025.
bund. That's more a bund at the end of the year. And also, that isn't actually mine. I came second, but they missed the first person, so they gave me that trophy.
Really?
No, I was just being funny.
Oh, sorry.
I was
Yeah,
just
all right.
related.
All
I was
right.
signposting back to the earlier lols we're
Yeah.
having.
I didn't know we were on such comedy gold.
We are. Okay,
I
time for
feel
some
very
cor
bad though. I want to
this
be
time.
very clear.
Right,
I
yeah,
feel
he's very
very, very
sorry,
bad about
everybody.
that.
He's not
I am.
misogynist. He didn't ignore the women. He wasn't busy talking about the man's last time. He's very sorry, and
I am.
let's look at some correspondence.
Let's.
It's correspondence in a corner. It's correspondence corner.
Help me, Paul, says Charlotte Yarker. She says, hi. I'm a Northampton local and my running club wants to be the friendliest and most inclusive we can possibly be. Shout out to Northampton Roadrunners. What tips do you, Paul, have for making a running club approachable and breaking down barriers that stop people participating in group events or races? Are there any organisations that Big Bear partner with who can help us reach out to spread the running joy to as many areas of our community as possible? You seem to have nailed it with Big Bear events. So, did you write this, Paul? You seem to have narrowed it with
No.
Big Bear events, so I thought you'd be a great person to ask. And thanks for the great elephant challenge medal. I feel like this should be funnier and get a mention. So insert joke here to make this email more engaging. Right, okay, I'll insert a joke at some point. Good luck to Anna with the baby adventures and to Ali holding the fort whilst the book touring. This was obviously a long time ago. Lots of love from Charlotte Yarker, friend of James Thorpe, if that name check gets me a bonus. Kudos. That's quite a good question, isn't it?
It is. I know Charlotte because
Do
she's
you?
running my event. I think she's running quite a few of the events, actually. I think I'm right in saying that. I don't think it's just one. So, I mean, it's difficult. I find, especially with running clubs, if they're traditional running clubs, they can be a little bit stuck in the 80s, where if you're a sub 3 hour marathon runner, you're a runner. And if you're over 3 hours, then you're a jogger and treated differently. Some aren't there's lots that aren't like that, but there are some that are very much still stuck in those sort of ways. And it's when you start putting paces on things. Was it was somebody on the I'm sure it was on the podcast about how their local running group said you had to be able to run like 7 minute miles to run with this group, otherwise they didn't really have anybody that could help them.
I
I'm
have
sure you
had
put
some
a call out.
fucking horror stories on the
Yeah.
socials about running clubs, and it really, especially with women, really bashes their confidence so bad. And I haven't actually had many. Do you know what? I was working with She Runs Cardiff in as earlier in the year. Oh my God, they're so nice. They've got 2,000 members, and I've never had felt so much inclusivity in a group of women in my life. Even though there were people who were like very punchy ultra runners at the front, and people who were like just doing their own thing right at the back and having a great time. But all of them mingled together. All of them spoke to each other. There was no barriers. It was a stunning thing to see. So, and yeah. I think that's quite rare.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is. And it's difficult because you sort of need to, you need to have those people that really represent it, in that if you've got people there that are really fast and all they want to do is run fast all the time, then it's very difficult, whether they're male or female or whatever. Like, if they're just going to run off, that's not very inclusive. And if they're just going to keep telling you how slow they're going to run with you, that's not very inclusive either. So there's little ways to, with running groups, I think, there's little ways to set it up so that you sort of have, like, the fast group go off and then everybody else goes off, and you make sure that everybody knows where they're running. I think people find track sessions quite intimidating. However, they are also really good for, like, people of different abilities and different experiences, because if you're running 4-minute Ks and someone's running 10-minute Ks, fine, you lap each other, or the quicker one laps you loads, but you're still with each other. Whereas if you're out on the street doing that, you see them at the start and you never see them again, and they've gone home before you've even got back if you're the slower one. So it is difficult. And I think that a lot of it is around, like, the pictures you use. So it's a lot of the She Races stuff is not just about it being inclusive to women. It's about being inclusive to people that aren't alpha male. So you don't need to show a start line of loads of sort of very athletic looking people who are winning races. You don't need to show the winner. You just need to show people in your pictures and things of people having a good time, all shapes, sizes, genders, whatever, rather than your traditional sort of skinny white man in short shorts. Like, we know that people are going to do running. If you're trying to encourage other people to come, then use imagery of other people. And I think having the your training sessions not be based around time. So if you say to somebody, oh, this is for, like, people that are going between 7-minute miles and 9-minute miles, you might end up running that, but people don't know that. If you've not done running before, you haven't got a clue what that means. Is that for 1 mile? Is that for 50 miles? It's very difficult. But if you've got a couple of groups that can go out and you have, like, a point where you all meet, maybe, so you've got, like, a, you know, find the fast group have gone out, but we see them because we cross over at some point, that sort of stuff. It's boring logistical stuff like that, I think.
But even like having doing things like you do with your races, where instead of going and doing a track session, you do a lapped woods session. So say you're going to, tonight we're all going out for an hour. All of us in the club are going out for 1 hour. We're doing a lapped woods session. So do as many laps as few laps as you want. You'll always be with people. There'll be people overtaking you. There'll be people behind you. You won't know where they are. You won't know how far they've gone because you're not on a track. That is social, isn't it? That is, like, there's lots of people around. You're doing your own thing. It doesn't really matter how far you go. The only person keeping an eye on your watch is you. And I think the other thing is the language that is used in clubs to describe groups. So the fast group, the slow group, the back of pack, the front of pack, that is not fucking helpful to anybody, because the hares, the tortoises, that doesn't help anybody. I think using language like, you know, the awesome group, the cool group, the sexy group, the group with the best hair, whatever you fucking want to call it. So it's you take the weight out of the language and you make it neutral. So you're not. So the names of the groups aren't judging how, inverted commas, good the group is. That makes people feel more included as well. There's loads of ways you can do it, but it is about acceptance. And the other thing is, don't fucking advertise that your running club is inclusive if they're not. Because I've got people that have said, oh, I went to this club because they said it was inclusive and I got there and it was awful. If your club is not inclusive, say. If your club is for people that can only do a sub 3-hour marathon, say. If your club is for people that can only do 6-hour marathons, say. Because then people know they're going to the right place, right? You don't go into a fucking kitchen shop to buy a bathroom. So, you know, they've both got taps, but they're different fucking types of taps. So just be honest with what your group is offering and don't fucking lie about it. Don't say what you think people want to hear. Say what it actually fucking is. Because that, it's not helpful to anybody, is it? When someone turns up to a running club and it's not what they thought it was.
Yeah. Fully agree. But it is very difficult. And especially you see a lot more sort of like social groups popping up, especially in sort of like the major cities and that. I see lots and lots of So when you ask people for club names when they're into an event, there's lots of things in there that aren't whatever Roadrunners or something athletics club. Mm-hmm. They're sort of just odd names that I might have never come across. And it'll be just a group of people that are like, oh, let's start a running club. So it's not mm-hmm. really, a lot of them aren't technically running clubs, but they feel like they're part of a club or a group. And so mm-hmm. it's difficult for the more traditional like Roadrunners and things like that to draw people across, because they see those as being for the elites, for scary people. I mean, even just the tag, you know, because it is Northampton Roadrunners, and you know, they come and run on trail, obviously, and they, you know, they're nice people, but you hear Roadrunner, you're like,
I'll be like, fuck that, like, I ain't doing that.
But I know loads of those people who come and run on my trail events, and loads of them run trail, but that club's probably been around 30, 40, 60, I don't know, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult.
It is. Have you got, also, just quickly, if you go into our Ultrasound System Facebook page and ask about clubs, there'll be lots of people that recommend good clubs because they are already members of good clubs. And if you are a good club and you want us to give you a shout out, then please do let us know. But I will do due diligence and I won't be shouting you out if I think you're a bunch of cocks. Right. Any more commumbrances in the corner from you? Correspondences?
Of course, I have some questions. So when we asked last time, I got loads of questions about
loads. Loads.
Wow. That's
how
five.
Many questions? Five, right.
That's a lot. The first one being quite good. So why race cutoffs? How do we encourage race directors to be more generous? So the race cutoffs, they're essentially for two, they'll be for one of two reasons. If you are going to, I don't know, the Stevenage 10K or something, you know, a town centre 10K with closed roads and things like that, they have cutoffs because they've got to open the roads again. And that's as simple as that. So how they make those cutoffs obviously is different. So if you're doing a 10K and the cutoff is 75 minutes, that's obviously quite tight for quite a few people. If they make it 2 hours, then that would be fine for 99% of people. But they have to have a cutoff at some point so they can open roads again. So that's one reason you have cutoffs.
When it's fucking expensive to shut roads, isn't it? How expensive is it to shut roads?
Don't know. I've never done it.
It's fucking expensive. It's like it's by the minute, basically. Yeah. So that's why they have to do it.
And in place, like the bigger the city, the more they'll charge you. So heaven knows what like you're paying in London to close a road for anything. Mm-hmm. So you've got that for road events. That's the main reason. And then for trail events, when you're thinking, oh, you know, what does it matter? Because you're not closing roads. It's mainly just so you can organise your event and organise the volunteers. So for Centurion events, obviously they're much bigger. They go over 100 miles or so. You've got 120 people plus that are out volunteering, and things that need to be moved around, and aid stations that need to be closed and moved to here and to here and to here and so on. So it's a logistical, like, huge operation, and you need to know when you're going to move these things. So if you have no cutoffs, then either you're going to have less aid stations, or you're going to have loads more volunteers out, which then means you need more volunteers, mm-hmm. which isn't necessarily easy. And you have to then give them free entries and so on and so on.
But you can't expect volunteers to work a 30-hour shift. You cannot expect that.
Like a new lot in. Yeah, so it's really then difficult. And I as a runner and as a racer, completely get both sides. To make cutoffs, so when I see a 10K, there was a 10K around here that had a cutoff of 1 hour and 15. Well, that's tight for a lot of people. At my events, I probably get I reckon maybe 15% of people finish either very close to that or over 1 hour 15. So that's silly. But then for ultras that are like Centurion, generally the rule is 15-minute miles, and it's evenly split throughout. So if you know that going in, then you know that going in. It's always the same. They're strictly enforced. You know the rules. Mm-hmm. If you don't want that, there are other events that have longer cutoffs. The threshold events, sort of their cutoffs are like days and so on.
Pegasus don't have any cutoffs either, but Pegasus are very specific in that they're like, there is a cutoff on the aid station, and if you get there after that, the aid station will not be there and you will have to fend for yourself. Like the end gantry will always be there, but the aid station won't. And it's so it's up to you to get there before the aid station goes. They're not going to chuck you out of the race, but they are telling you that we can't have people standing there for fucking 30 hours waiting for you.
Yeah, and it's difficult, especially, I mean, like on a 200-mile race, like some of these aid stations, I mean, when we do the Winter Downs 200, I think the last aid station is open for like 2 days. Like it's open for a very long time because those quick guys and girls, they come through really early, and the people right at the back of the race, they're taking a long time to come through. So you've got to staff it and you've got to do it properly. So you want to make sure that person that comes through first has the same experience as the person that comes through last. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have enough people because you can't plan it, then you're not going to give everybody that same experience.
Do you know what? I'd like to ask if the people that moan the most about cutoffs have ever done any volunteering in their life.
Yeah, it's the same with people that moan about anything really. I mean, the cutoff question though, I think is a valid one. Hmm. When you look at some races and you think, well, you could just make it a bit longer. Like some cutoffs don't need to be quite so tight. And I mean, I've looked at, so when I said about the Trail Fest and not having the 50 mile event, the beauty of having the 50 mile event is that for the 50 miles, the cutoffs are quite tough, but it means that I'm there. So for the cutoff for the 50K is huge because essentially it's the same time as the 50 mile event.
Mm.
So I'm probably going to not have the 50 mile event next year, but I don't want to then massively make the cutoff for the 50K tight. I want people to come along to my events who the reason they didn't finish is because their legs wouldn't carry them, not because I told them they had to go home.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't want to be there for 3 days. So it is about trying to get that balance. I don't think there's many, especially in trail, I don't think there's many race directors that are making cutoffs just to be an arsehole.
Side of the coin is, right, when you enter a race, fucking look at what the cutoff is and only enter it if you're willing to train to meet that cutoff. This is the other thing. It's like it's like there are so many fucking races now. So many. Action Challenge cutoffs are massive. Threshold cutoffs are massive. Pegasus don't have cutoffs. Centurion have cutoffs. Some races have really the Yorkshire Three Peaks fucking marathon or whatever they call it. That fell race. The cutoffs are horrific on that. They're so tight for a reason. You've got to be a really good fell runner to be able to fucking meet them. Like that's it. It's a challenge. That's what's there. So you train for that. I think people need to understand that as well. You know, like it's like there is stuff for everybody. And I think this is actually a really good topic because I think a lot of people don't understand the cutoff thing. You know, things like medical provision. You can't ask St. John's Ambulance to stay there for 5 days. They've got other shit to be at. They've got other stuff to do. Like it's
If you've got, you know, on the 200 miler, if you've got a 200 miler and your sort of medics sort of tend to sort of hang around towards the middle of the event so they can go forwards and backwards.
Mm.
But if you're keeping the back of the race sort of even further away effectively because you're making it longer at the cutoffs, you might have to go from having one 4x4 to then having two. Well, you then doubled the cost of your medics, which then means that the entry prices have to go up. Like it's small things can be done. And I do think that sometimes people sort of, again, make the cutoffs really really tight for no real reason. But quite often there is a rationale behind it. But like you say, enter the events that you can do. I think that ultra running is for everybody, but not up every event is for everyone. Like, you know, I'm not entering Dragon's Back because I can't do it. Like,
no, I'm not entering the Helvellyn Sky Race because I can't fucking do it.
Right. And so that's fine. And those events are for other people. If the time cutoffs are too tight, don't enter those ones, enter other ones. But the bit that sort of is always, I guess, frustrating is that men's attitude generally is, oh, I'm sure I'll be all right. Whereas then women's attitude is like, oh, I might miss the cutoff. And so you'll get more men that will take a punt and enter, whereas the women just won't enter. And they probably could have done it.
But what I'll say on that, right, is first off, there is talk of extending cutoffs for women, which I absolutely 100% do not agree with because I want the same cutoffs as men. That's where I enter the race is. I'm about all about equality. I don't fucking want fucking longer cutoffs. I'm not interested in that. Secondly, women and everybody, it's not about the outcome. It's about the process. So whether you finish the race or hit the cutoff, it doesn't fucking matter. It's about the process. So women, just enter. What's the worst thing that can happen? You won't make the cutoff. But so fucking what? You've had a good day out. You've had fun. You've learned something. That's all that matters. But don't moan about it. Like, just don't even think about it. Just go. If you want to have a go, have a go. Train properly, train to the best of your ability, and just do the best you possibly can. Because no one cares if you don't finish a race. No one gives a shit. No one cares. Like, the only person that cares is you. So, and it doesn't matter, because you've got to be willing to fail to be good at shit. So, like, just do it. Like, you're right. Men will enter a race if they meet 9 out of 10 if they meet like 1 out of 10 of the criteria, a man will enter a race. But women have to meet 9 out of 10 of the criteria to be able to even enter the race. It's just a fucking thing. It's the patriarchy. It's, I believe it's brought up.
Yeah, I believe it's an actual study that was done on people applying for jobs, right? Like,
yeah.
How if the man was sort of like semi qualified, he'd apply, but the woman would only qualify if she was fully qualified. I think that's.
There's a really good, really, really good book called Invisible Women. And that book has got loads of that shit in it. It makes you really angry. But just fucking do it, man. Like, if we want equal, men and women at the start lines, then it's up to the women to go, I'm just going to give it a shot. Just see what happens. And it doesn't matter if I don't hit the fucking cutoff. And let's have a look at the finisher rates between men and women. Most of the time, there are more women finishers than there are men. So we are capable of so much more than we think we give ourselves credit for. So that's interesting. I love you very much, Paul, but we can't do any more questions because I need to go, because I've got shit to do. I've got clients. So we have to do your other questions next week. Have you heard any hot tunes this week that you want to add to the playlist?
So, being as you vetoed my Dizzy Rascal and Florence and the Machine, Dizzy Rascal Holiday is a very good song.
Are you going on holiday?
No.
You can't afford a holiday. You've put all your money into your house, haven't you? Your big bastard house.
It's not that. It's that when somebody says, where do you want the cap to go? Then I need to sort of be there rather than on a campsite somewhere.
Oh, yeah. So, right. Okay. Because you've made millions of pounds out of your race company.
Something like that.
Dizzy Rascal Holiday.
Yeah.
That is an absolute banger, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. I'm going to add it.
We wanted to have that as our first dance at our wedding, but how do you dance to that when everybody's watching you? Because it's a song we both like, is the more to the point.
My face.
No, I know, but it's a good song. We liked the song. It was 2010, so it would have been timely.
But Chocolate Starfish by Limp Bizkit is a good song, but you're not going to have that as your fucking first dance at your wedding, are you?
That's why we didn't have it. That's why I said we should have done that, but we didn't. Because you can't really get, like, the nanas in, can you, to come and dance to Dizzy Rascal?
Could have done that really awful thing where you got a choreographer in and you worked out a dance routine and you go, oh, that gives me the it so bad. Imagine if you married the love of your life and then you got to the wedding and they were like, hey, look, watch this. I've got all my best men to fucking do a choreographed dance routine to Holiday by Dizzy Rascal. And you were like, it's a terrible mistake.
Yeah, I've been to a wedding where they did that, actually. And yeah, luckily I wasn't involved in any of that.
Has the marriage ended?
No, they're still married. But
was it James Elson's wedding?
No, it wasn't. No. I don't know if he'd do that sort of thing. I don't think that's quite his cup of tea. But
he wouldn't do that.
Yeah, we don't do choreographed dancing. I find that really weird. Did anybody do those before Instagram?
The choreographed dance routine at your wedding if no one was watching?
Exactly.
Right, thanks, Paul. You've been ace of base, as usual. And I'll see you in a month. And listener, please, can you go onto the British Podcast Awards website and vote for us in the listener's choice? Because we know that we are your choice. In a minute, you'll hear another advert asking you to go to the British Podcast Awards website and vote for listener's choice. If it's still July, you can enter the competition to win a Race Pack 20 on Instagram. And that's all I have to say. Thanks, Paul.
Bye, everybody.
Love you, bye. Thank you for listening to the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System sponsored by Innovate. We would absolutely love it if you could just take 1 minute to visit the britishpodcastawards.com and vote for us in the Listener's Choice Award, because you're the listeners and we know that this is the choice that you want to make. It's the only choice. It's the best choice. Why not make it? Follow us on Instagram. It's Ultrasound System Pod. And on Facebook, we have a social group as well, so you can meet up with people in real life. We love you. We love everything about you. Keep your informations, your encumbrances, your correspondences all coming in on the usual places. You can DM us, you can voice note us, you can do whatever you want. Email us if you want to. Send us a letter, why not? We love you. Please go and vote for us in the British Podcast Awards. Please, I'm begging you. Please. Thank you. Bye-bye.